Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And I want to thank you for listening in today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. What a great word that is. I love that word, liberty. And you see it everywhere. You take away liberty from America and you've got just a country like all the other countries. But there's a great thing about America and it's called liberty. And liberty, the idea of liberty, comes from the Bible. Leviticus 25:10. We say that every week when we come on. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Well, this is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That's just off of Highway 105 South, just a few miles outside of the Boone city limits, about 3 miles, I think, from where the sign is that says Boone city limits, the red light there where you can take 105 or 105, what's that called, bypass. I've lived here all my life. I don't know the roads. I don't have to. I know how to get around. But anyway, right there. If you'd like more information, you can go to our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org. Noah, how are you today?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. And I have one announcement here that I'm going to make right before we get started today. The Watauga County Gospel Singing will be this Saturday night, October 26th, at 7 p.m. at Mountain Dale Baptist Church. And for more information on that, you can call Brother Clint Cornett. His number is 828-297-3270. That's the Watauga County Gospel Singing that'll be going on at Mountain Dale Baptist Church at 7 p.m. And his number again is 828-297-3270 if you want more information on that. And we do want to say welcome to all our listeners this morning. We do appreciate our listeners, those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and also those who listen in on KBGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate our listeners, and I really appreciate Noah and what he does to help me on the radio and in the radio. He does a lot of work behind the scenes, and it's a great blessing to me, and I appreciate it. And just along the lines of the county singing, that is shape note singing, and a lot of different people from different choirs and different churches get together, and they sing out of the shape note books. And the old red back hymnal as well, the church hymnal, and it's just a good time. We had a good time at Mount Lebanon last month, and it's going to be at Mountain Dale this time. But our topic today is signs of the times. That's what we're going to be looking at. False teachers. False teachers is one of the signs of the times. And I need to give just a little bit of background. Maybe you're a new listener. Maybe you just got in the car and flipping through the radio channels and you say, well, what's this all about? But for several weeks now, here on Blessings of Liberty, we have been looking at a book. It's called Dispensational Truth. Not really looking at the book, but there's just something in the book that we're studying. And that book, Dispensational Truth, is by a man named Clarence Larkin. And it was copyrighted in 1918, and it's a book about prophecy and the Bible, and it's a big size book. It's got a lot of charts and graphs and pictures and all of those things in it. Mr. Larkin drew these things out over 100 years ago, but in the last chapter of that book, and this is what got me started on this study, he gives 10 signs of the times. And when I come across that, it's just the chapter's just a couple of pages. It's just, he just lists these things that would be signs of the times. And he gives 10 signs of the times. How will we know when we're in the last days. And people say that all the time. Well, it's just a sign of the times. What do they mean by that? Does the Bible give us anything specific? Well, it does. It does give specifics, and it talks many places about the last days or the latter times. This and such will be how it is. This will take place. Well, Mr. Larkin gives 10 signs of the times, and I thought it would be interesting to do a study and see if these signs that he lists, these 10 signs of the times, are they, here's my question, are they increasing, are they decreasing, or are they way off base? You know, that could be possible. Something that was written 100 years ago, actually, he probably wrote what he wrote over 100 years ago. So you're talking about things to take place in the future that could be so far off base that it would just be laughable. So I look at these signs of the times. That's where we got the idea for this study and sort of what we're involved in right now. But so far, first thing we've seen, scoffers concerning the Lord's return. This was out of 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. And there will be in the last days scoffers, mockers concerning the Lord's return. People say, and I've heard people say this before, I've heard that all my life. Well, yes, maybe you have, but that doesn't mean that it's not so. Or someone might say, I can't believe anybody would believe that. That's just crazy. Well, that's scoffing. That's mocking. The Bible says that in the last days there will be scoffers concerning the Lord's return. So there are scoffers today. We've already looked at that. Second of all, last week we looked at the sign of apostasy. Apostasy just simply means a falling away or defection from the truth. That's what apostasy is. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 3 says, and that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. The day that it's referring to there, if we took time again, it's talking about the day of the Lord. It's talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says that will not come except there come a falling away first and apostasy first. And we said last week that concerning apostasy in these days, compared to 1913 or compared to Paul's day, which he wrote in, we said last week that there is an increase in frequency and fervency. We have more apostasy than we've ever had before, and it's more fervent. It's more active. It is more evangelistic, if you can use that word in reference to apostasy. I mean, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. More prolific, I guess, would be a good word to use there. And I want to say this before we move on from the subject of apostasy, just sort of a warning or something that you can probably look around and see an example of this in a church, in a Christian college, a Christian ministry. It doesn't matter. Once a person, a church, a college, a Christian ministry of any kind, once they go into apostasy, once they defect from the truth, there is no return. There is no example that I can think of a church, an organization, a ministry going into apostasy and returning out of that apostasy or reviving out of that apostasy. This is the judgment of God upon those who defect from the truth. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 2, verse number 5, to the church at Ephesus, Christ said this to that church. He said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. What he was saying, you don't have to find something new, something modern. Just go back and do what you were doing at the beginning. Do the first works. And then he said, or else. Have you ever heard somebody threaten another person? They say, you do this, or else. Or maybe mom or dad says to the child, you do this, or else. Well, Christ said that to the church at Ephesus. He said, "Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Now, their candlestick was their light. Jesus told the disciples, "Ye are the light of the world." Well, he said, "I am the light of the world," but in another place he said, "Ye are the light of the world." We're to be light. And so Jesus told that church at Ephesus, if you don't repent, if you don't return, I'll remove your candlestick. I'll remove your light. I'll remove your influence. And without light, we are in darkness. Now, I want to give one more reason why I know that we are living in the last days, days of widespread apostasy. Not only is there frequency, not only is there fervency, but another reason we can give today is that there is great apathy among God's people concerning apostasy. Our church is going into apostasy, or God's people going away from the truth. We are, in many places, we are moved way beyond defection from the truth, which is what apostasy is, to a place of disgust of the truth. I'm talking about even among God's people, that they do not want to hear, they do not care about, they cannot stomach the truth of the Word of God. It just doesn't interest them. A lot of people are religious. A lot of people go to church. A lot of people, maybe they are into that type of atmosphere. But as far as real truth from the Word of God, very, very apathetic towards that. Just really don't care about any meat and bones from the Word of God. Very, very much of that. We're living in days that are like that. Well, Paul said to the Galatians in chapter 4, verse number 16, he said, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" And so truth is something that a lot of people just, I'm talking about even in church, they just don't want to hear it. They just want to hear what they want to hear, and everything else could care less about hearing about. Well, there's scoffing concerning the Lord's return. There is also apostasy. But number three, this leads right into the third one, signs of the times. There is false teachers, the prevalence of false teachers. I want to read in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. The Bible said, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Now, there's several things I'd like to bring out of those two verses. Before I get into that, I just want to give some historical context. We're talking about dispensational truth, Mr. Larkin's book, written in 1918. When Mr. Larkin wrote that book, and in the years to follow, what we know in America and Scotland, England as well, but we're going to focus on America, what we know today as Bible fundamentalism was actually doing quite well at that time, as opposed to the false teachers of that day. Now, Mr. Larkin's writing. He says one of the signs of the times are going to be false teachers. But when he wrote that, fundamentalism, Bible believers, Bible-believing churches, churches that took the Bible literally, they were actually having revival at that time and on the increase. Now, there has always been apostasy, liberalism, modernism, all of these things. And at that time, there were many mainline colleges, or older colleges, we might say, that were originally established as Christian colleges. Well, they were already going a long ways down the path of being liberal, denying the Word of God. But the churches were not that way. They had not yet by and large, gone down the road of liberalism. And the churches are where we get the spiritual temperature from, not the colleges, not the Christian ministries, but the Bible gauges the spiritual condition of a nation or a society by the churches. And we get that from Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 3. But in the late 1800s, early 1900s, the mainline churches had not, by and large, gone into liberalism. There were many fundamental Bible-believing preachers, churches that were very prominent at that day. Sam Jones and Peter Cartwright. If you don't know about these men, you can read about their life stories and the great ministries that they had. Sam Jones was a Methodist preacher here in America, and Peter Cartwright was either a Methodist or a Presbyterian. I can't remember right off the bat. Billy Sunday. Most people have heard about Billy Sunday and the great camp meetings that they used to have, and thousands of people, what they termed it, walked the sawdust trail in America. And Billy Sunday, the evangelist, he would go to different cities in America. They would erect a huge tabernacle, tent or a tabernacle, and they'd put sawdust down for a floor, and people would come and they'd hear Billy Sunday preach, and thousands of people were converted. The liquor industry in many towns just absolutely closed down because of the influence of evangelist Billy Sunday. He was a Presbyterian. A little bit before that, you had the ministry of D.L. Moody, who touched two continents for God, America and also Britain, England and Scotland. They say under the ministry of D.L. Moody that over 1 million people were converted and come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You had D.L. Moody and many other great evangelists of that time. In England, you had Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who touched England for God. Most people that's spent any time at all in church has heard the name Charles Haddon Spurgeon, great Baptist preacher of that day and time. Right here in America, along that same time, there was a man named G.W. Truett. G.W. Truett was born in Hayesville, Clay County, North Carolina, in 1867. Hayesville in Clay County, North Carolina, in 1867. G.W. Truett was saved at an early age. He moved to Texas in 1889. And then he became the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, in 1897. Mr. Truett remained at the First Baptist Church in Dallas until his death in 1944. You talk about a span of ministry. Now, in Mr. Truett's ministry, there was a day, 1920, the Southern Baptists had their annual meeting in Washington, D.C. in 1920. There was not a building in Washington, D.C. at that time that could hold all of the people that desired to hear Mr. Truett preach. There were those that were there for the meeting, church members, pastors, but not only them, many, many from Congress and the Senate came out. People who work there in the government of our country desired to hear. Can you imagine somebody going to Washington, D.C. today, and there being so many people that wanted to hear them preach that they had to have the meeting outside? And on May the 16th, 1920, George W. Truett preached from the Capitol steps. He preached on the subject of Baptist and religious liberty. This actually took place in our country, believe it or not. Can you imagine a fundamental Bible-believing preacher desiring to be heard in Washington, D.C., but once upon a time in America, this took place. Mr. Truett preached for 6 months, took a preaching tour for 6 months to the Allied forces during World War I. And he did that by special appointment of President Woodrow Wilson. If you want to read an interesting life story, read about the life story of G.W. Truett. He was instrumental in Baylor University, which was established as a Christian, a Baptist college, and on we could go. And there were many other great fundamentalists from that time. And we're going through all this to make the point that Mr. Larkin, early 1900s, said signs of the times are going to be false teachers. But he made that, printed this book, when during a day of many fundamental teachers, many great Bible preachers. There were others of that time period and after that time period. Bob Jones, most people have heard of Bob Jones University. Well, the original, Mr. Bob Jones, John R. Rice, Frank Norris, R.A. Torrey, and on. There were great ministries in England and Scotland also that time. There's something that a lot of people probably don't realize, but when you hear the phrase fundamental, and that now is just usually associated with Baptists, you might hear a Baptist say, well, we're a fundamental Baptist. But that phrase actually came out of this time period, the early 1900s. What we know as, if you study church history, it's called classic fundamentalism. And that began during this time period in opposition to to liberalism creeping in to the churches. And so R.A. Torrey, he's not a Baptist, but he was instrumental in this fundamentalist movement in America. To begin with, it was not just a Baptist thing. But Presbyterians, Methodists, Congregationalists, Baptists were involved in this fundamental getting back. We need to get back the Bible. And there's five fundamentals of the faith. Maybe you've heard this preached on. But this classic fundamentalist said, all right, what do we believe concerning the Bible? We believe the inerrancy of the Scripture. Well, amen. That's good. I can agree with that. We believe the Bible is the inerrant, without error, Word of God. That's what they said. Number two, they said, we believe in the virgin birth. Well, that's good. That's what the Bible teaches. We believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, number three, we believe in the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, that Jesus died upon the cross and shed his blood so that we could be saved. They said, we believe that is fundamentalist. Number four, they said, we believe that salvation is by grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And number five, they said, we believe in the second return, that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again to this earth. And there's the five fundamentals. Maybe you've heard that. But this was actually, once upon a time, greatly debated and stood up for in this country. Now, historically, if anything, Mr. Larkin would have had a hard time making the case that these false teachers were prevalent in the day and time in which he lived. But he didn't say that by looking around and saying, well, it looks like things are going pretty good now. I don't guess. He put that because that is what the Bible says, that in the last days there's going to be false teachers. Well, there's always been false teachers at that same time period, historically speaking. There's two men, and I'm just going to use their last names. They're always referred to together, Westcott and Hort. If you have a Bible other than a King James Bible, even if it's a New King James, if it's a Revised Standard Version, if it's a ESV, if it's a NIV, no matter what it is, if you have any version of the Bible other than a King James Bible, and that's what you use, that's what you read out of, you are following after these two gentlemen and their perverted Greek manuscripts, Westcott and Hort. And Westcott and Hort, you can read and study about that on your own, but that's something that you need to know when you're talking about the Bible. But while millions of people were coming to hear Charles Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, some of these other great preachers of that time period, they were contemporary with Westcott and Hort. Westcott and Hort, as preachers, could not fill a small chapel of people that would come to hear them. They didn't even preach. They just sort of this dry, dead. They were theologians, although they tried to preach, I guess, but nobody was interested in hearing these men. Nobody would give them the time of day. They wanted to hear some fire. They wanted to hear truth. Mr. Hort, I believe it was, he went to hear D.L. Moody preach one time, and he had heard all this big talk about D.L. Moody. So he decided he'd go see what this was all about. And what he had to say about it after he heard D.L. Moody preach. Boy, I'd have loved to hear D.L. Moody preach. I'd have loved to have been in some of those services where they had the old-time singing, songs we still sing today. But anyway, he went and heard D.L. Moody preach, and you know what he said after it? He said he didn't care much for it. And if you really study about Westcott and Hort, I do not believe that either one of these men were converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. They denied the Lord that bought them. They couldn't even fill a chapel with their dry, dead preaching. But you know what? The Word of God is true, even when it doesn't look like it. The Word of God is true. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 said, "But there are false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." These false teachers would bring in damnable heresies. And how do you know what that is? It said even denying the Lord that bought them. And talking about this subject of Westcott and Hort, boy, what an influence. What an influence. Because since that time, you have more and more that have gone this intellectual route, thinking they're smart, thinking they're following after something great, and they're following after people that didn't believe in the blood atonement. They didn't believe in the virgin birth. They believed in spiritism. They were messed up individuals. Well, we see the prevalence today of this acceptance of these heresies, of these false teachers. Timothy said over in Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." We are living in the last days. The prevalence of false teachers is a sign of the times, the acceptance of false doctrine. Well, time has quickly caught us. Have a great day. God bless.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.